Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing, and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompleteProductionServices.com.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are so glad you're along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and we are getting set for our weekly segment with the great Jason Peter, our Under the Helmet segment. And Jason, it's great to have you on with us. You are the hardest working dad in Lincoln, Nebraska. How is the transitioning going? And I hope the Peter family enjoyed a wonderful July 4th weekend.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
You sound tired.
I'm exhausted. I was on the night shift last night, and this baby is completely different than the first one. The first one, it was feed her, she goes to sleep, you change a diaper here or there. But with this one, it's, you know, the stomach, I guess, maybe isn't developed as well. So it's not digesting her food, I guess, as well as she should be. So, you know, we've got to get different formula, and we got to do this and that. And basically, all I hear are the cries. And there hasn't been a whole lot of sleeping going on here in this house.
All I have to say is, what an amazing woman. How did your wife get you trained to be getting up in the middle of the night, doing baby duty? I mean, how did that work? I felt like I had to do it all by myself.
she's just fortunate that I'm kind of have the hours that I do, because I can't imagine. And I know they're single women, you know, and married women who, you know, the husbands are out of the house at 5 in the morning and not home until 10 at night. But I do not know how those women do it. And we have two little ones. There are families out there with 4 and 5.
It's crazy.
That, you know, are all under the age of 7 or 8 years old. And you know, it seems like it would almost be impossible to do it without some sort of help. But we're not at that point yet. If I have to do that, then there's something else that's wrong with this family.
Jason, who knew that playing in the NFL and playing college football would prepare you so much for doing double duty here as a parent, right?
True. There's a discipline, and it would be very easy to just kind of throw the towel in and say, I can't deal with this anymore, and just, you know, walk out of the house. And I guess that's all right if you've reached a boiling point where you're either going to do something stupid or you just got to take this little break. But I can completely draw the parallels when you're talking about frustration and the amount of physical exertion that you're putting into taking care of these children. It's overwhelming. And this is the thing, not to say that this is what women are made for, but men are not wired for this kind of stuff, especially multiple children at the same time. I mean, we have a hard enough time just focusing on one thing. Now you have two little ones, you know, that are pulling at each direction. I don't know if men are built for that sort of thing.
You know, and I was thinking back, you know, to those early days of, you know, having our two sons and the lack of sleep. And I thought, gosh, you know, was this like taking finals during college and, you know, and being, you know, an athlete and all the requirements that comes with that. But, you know, finals come and go. I mean, it's just relentless. And when you are trying to get your little one on his schedule, it can be so, so difficult and challenging.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we try to stick to a schedule as best we can. But, you know, sometimes the baby wants to eat, you know, not at 3 hours, but at 2 hours. And it's kind of what baby wants, baby gets.
Hey, we're having some baby talk, talking with Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment. We're going to move forward, and now we are going to talk a little bit about the NFL. You know, one of the headlines this week was talking about the possible return of running back Tiki Barber, his attempt to return to the NFL after a four-year absence once the lockout ends. Wanted you to weigh in on this, Jason. He says his health, his desire, it's all there, but will he be able to resurrect his image and get back out there?
Well, this whole story means one thing, and that's that his former wife, I believe her name is Ginny, had a better attorney than Tiki, and he's got to be low on cash because this is a guy that played, you know, 10 years. He wasn't a free agent type guy. He made good money in New York City, plus the endorsements. I mean, this guy was kind of king of New York at one point.
That's right.
He was the one that everybody rooted for, the good guy who was successful, and you know, walks away from a career, and I'm sure that sent a lot of people kind of scratching their heads, saying he's not really hurt. You know, he's at kind of the peak, the pinnacle of his career. Why is he walking away now? And so I'm sure there were some people that were frustrated with that, but he wanted to do the whole NBC thing. There were talks that he was making, you know, $2 million a year over there. That didn't work out. Now it's like, you know, you leave your pregnant wife who's about to pop out a couple twins, and you go for the young blonde intern. That's not going to sit well with her, I imagine. Yeah, you know, you make a few decisions in your life that can really change, I guess, your plans for the future. And, you know, whether he says it or not, I'm sure there is some financial motivation here. You know, you'll never make the same type of money that you made when you're playing. I always, you know, with guys that I talk to, friends of mine from Nebraska, you know, I remember when Grant was talking about maybe retiring after, you know, the sixth or seventh year. And, you know, I was a guy who only got to play four, and then the doctors say, you know, we're not clearing you to play anymore. So it's kind of, you know, it was taken from me. But I remember saying to Grant, I said, you go as long as they're willing to pay you a paycheck.
Right.
I said, you'll never make money like this. And it's tempting because there are people that are in your ear all the time that say, oh, when you're finished, you come work for me, and I got a job for you. These people, they're only telling you that so they can hang with you at that time. When your career is over, 99% of those people are gone. They're nowhere around. They're on to the next guy who's playing that same position, who they want to, you know, walk out into the hot restaurant with, or they want to be friendly with out on the golf course. You know, this kind of money that these guys make, especially nowadays, they will never see that money again doing something else.
Well, and as you'd said, Jason, you know, Tiki Barber, he went through an expensive divorce. I'm sure the cost of child support. But, you know, talking about what he would be able to do on the field, I mean, can he continue to boost those numbers? All-time career, what, all-purpose yards, over 17,000. I mean, he's, what, 36 years old. I mean, how much more can his body take?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's always the exception to the rule, and I'm not saying Tiki is, because look, there was a good part of Tiki's career in the beginning where he was always injured. There was always something. He was always missing a game here, a game there for something. You know, nothing major, but always there were these nagging injuries, and he was kind of, you know, injury-prone type guy. And towards the end of his Giant career, he was, you know, somewhat able to get over, I think, that label above his head that he was injury prone. But like you said, I mean, what, 34, 36 years old? Most teams are scared to re-sign running backs when they get to 30 years old. They don't want to sign them to a long-term deal. You know, I don't know what Tiki's expecting out of this. Let's say he comes out and he rushes for 1,500 yards. Is an NFL general manager going to sit there and say, well, you know, he's going to be 37 next year. let's give this guy, you know, $10 million a year for the next 4 years. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because they'll be thinking, even if he gets it through, if he gets through this year without getting injured, that injury is going to be around the corner. Most people feel that a running back's career is on its way down when they hit the age 30. Sure, he's had 4 years off. I know when I had my first 2 years out of the game, I felt good enough where I called my agent and said, let's go. I feel like my neck, maybe with the time off, with not being in, you know, a car wreck each and every day out on the practice field, that maybe my neck has kind of healed itself. And I remember, you know, we had all the doctor's appointments and had to get the MRIs, and I walked into that first doctor appointment after having the MRI, and he said, you may feel like you're getting better, but your neck is worse. It's you know, it deteriorated that much more. You've got that much more wear and tear on it. So even though you feel better structurally, you're worse. So I know what a little time away from the game can make your body feel like. But the reality is, once you step back on that field and you start going through two-a-days and you start, you know, going through a game situation, your body, it's just not going to recover the same way it did as when you were 23, 24 years old.
We are talking to Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment. We were hitting on there with the Tiki Barber situation. Perhaps he'll end up with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the other big headline is Brett Favre. Oh, my goodness. Here we go again, Jason P. Interested in returning for his 21st year. Will he be playing in the NFL in 2011? What do you think?
I don't think so. But never say never. I mean, you know, we're going to be in a unique situation here with this lockout, and who knows how much longer it will go. But there are teams out there, whether they have a new head coach or, you know, they have a new quarterback that they just drafted, there's going to be a shrunken period where some of these players are going to have the chance to learn an offense. Well, if you're a West Coast guy who runs an offense similar to what Favre has run over the last 20 years of his life, you know, he may be a guy. Because let's face it, I mean, whether you draft a guy, number one, as a rookie, like, say, Carolina and Cam Newton, or whether you have a guy who's been in the league for 15 years, the NFL is a win-now league. That luxury of saying, hey, you know, we'll be horrible for the next 3-4 years, but we're grooming them. I don't know if that's okay anymore. Everybody wants a full stadium right now, and the only way that you do that is by winning. And, you know, for some team, he might just be worth it. You know, a smaller market team, I don't think Minnesota, even with drafting Christian Ponder, I don't see Minnesota wanting to get stuck in this cycle again and almost feeling like Brett Favre is permanently attached to their hip. I feel like they probably need to make a break. And, you know, after Minnesota, I don't know who you have that will be willing to do something like that. Would Carolina be willing to bring a guy like Brett Favre in so that he can tutor Cam Newton? Because let's face it, no matter how athletic Cam Newton is, I mean, the NFL is not the SEC. You know, the SEC may be good college football. This is a whole different world. And the speed that things are going to be happening, I've never seen anything like it. And your athleticism can only take you so far.
And the other thing, too, Jason, we've talked about this in earlier discussions, just learning that playbook. That's going to present some challenges for Cam Newton. Okay, the other big juicy storyline, we got to talk about another jewelry story right here in Dallas, Texas. It's not with Dez Bryant. It is with Roy Williams seeking his $77,000 ring back from Miss Texas USA. First of all, what was she thinking?
Yeah, you know, not to bag on Roy. I guess he's a decent-looking guy, but, you know, Miss Texas, I know how the girls look like down in Texas. I mean, geez, you're talking about some of the most beautiful women in the world.
She is gorgeous.
And this is the Miss Texas USA from 2009. He should have known. You know, he's just out of his league on that one. For the guy who's been a star in the NFL, he's out of his league. And
how about the creative proposal, Jason? I mean, he mailed the ring and he recorded a marriage proposal to lovely gal. You know, you can go to Target and get one of those cards where you have the opportunity, you open the card, and then you can record. How cheesy.
He's so romantic. It's unbelievable. I mean, mails the proposal, what, on like a VHS tape or something like that. And besides that, in the box he throws in, you know, a couple pieces of signed memorabilia for the girl's brother, and here's some money for some dental bills, and here's another check for you know, your class schedule at school. I mean, just the romance that is oozing out of this guy is unbelievable. You know, what else could he have done? He could have put the ring maybe in her cheeseburger or something like that and waited for her to bite into it. But, you know, whatever. Everybody's, I guess, got their thing. And, you know, hopefully he gets the ring back. You know, I got to side with him on that.
I agree with that. She should absolutely honor that and return that. If you're not going to marry the guy, go ahead and give back the ring.
Right. But let's face it. I mean, nowadays, marriage sometimes isn't necessarily out of love. It's, you know, what can this person provide for me? And you know, it's sometimes it looks more like a business relationship than it does an actual marriage.
Jason Peter, along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Jason Peter always has some great things going on at his website, too. He's got a big celebrity golf tournament coming up in the month of October with Larry, the Cable Guy. You can go to jasonpeter.com to find out some more information on that. Hey, JP, we are quickly flying through time here. We did want you to weigh in on the NFL labor relations. It's kind of interesting. Several retirees, including, you know, some Hall of Famers, have expressed their dissatisfaction with the talks, and they have filed a class action lawsuit. What do you think about that? We're talking about Marcus Allen and Carl Eller and Franco Harris.
Yeah. You know, as a retired player, I'm on their side, and not just because I am a retired player. You have negotiations going on between these owners and these players over billions of dollars, and the amount that goes to retired players each year, even though there's been a lot of arguing and complaining about the way that some of these old timers are treated and the lack of money that they've received, there's still a large chunk of money that goes towards the retired players. And let's face it, at some point in everybody's career, you're going to be a retired player. And you know, there's no representation there right now. You have active players who have the mindset, because I remember what the mindset was. It's, I don't care about when I'm retired. I want to get everything that I can for me and my family right now. Right now. So forget about, you know, setting things up for down the road. I'm not looking to make sure my pension, you know, is something that I could depend on each and every month, because I want the money right now, and then that money I'll turn into something that I can, you know, use down the road. So, you know, and that's the thing. There's nobody in there that has a voice for the retired players. Damaris Smith, I mean, I think most of these active players have learned that maybe he's not all that they thought he was going to be. You've heard a lot of complaints about him, and if he's not representing the active players well, I mean, what makes you think he's going to represent the retired players well? And then, you know, everybody else is active. All these players that are showing up for court, these are active players. And sure, you got a couple that are there towards the end of their career, but the same thing with them. I mean, they're still playing. They're still active. They still want to make sure that they've got good money in their pocket right now. So I think it's a great idea that you've got these this handful of you know, Hall of Famers that have stepped up and said, you know, we're not saying we should be the deciding factor, but we should at least be in the conversation and we should be in the room.
They're certainly a part of that equation, and it's great, as you said, Jason, you know, to see them stepping up. And I thought it was interesting, you know, because it was earlier, the NFL Network had come out and they said, hey, you know, with these labor negotiations, we're making, you know, major process. And that's when Marcus Allen, Carl Eller, and Franco Harris, when they really stepped in and they filed this class action lawsuit. So we'll kind of have to see how it all weighs out. And we'll talk some more about this, Jason, in the weeks to come. We definitely want you to weigh in on that. As you said, you know, it's very close to home, as you are a former player in the NFL. We are flat out of time. Get some rest, my dear, and we look forward to catching up with you next week, Jason. Thanks again so much for your time. You're great.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and join us online at eradiosports.com.